And now we're going to look at part two of Trinity Sunday, the first reading and the psalm. The first reading is from Deuteronomy 4. Now you see, why does the church, this is cycle B, we had another reading last year, why does the church go for this reading, which is all about being chosen? Well, let's read what the prayer for Trinity Sunday is. I don't usually do this, but sometimes it's a help. Maybe it's always a help. God, this is our prayer. God, our Father, who by sending into the world the word of truth and the spirit of sanctification, made known to the human race your wondrous mystery. Grant us, we pray, that in professing the true faith, we may acknowledge the Trinity of eternal glory and adore your unity, powerful in majesty. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. That's our prayer. So this text, you see, is now what a privilege it is that God reveals himself to us. This from the Old Testament, you see. And so it's quite a lovely text. Deuteronomy 4 is a powerful passage in the Bible. Ask now of the days of old, before your time, ever since God created humankind upon the earth. Ask from one end of the sky to the other. Did anything so great ever happen before? Was it ever heard of? Did a people ever hear the voice of God speaking from the midst of fire as you did and live? Now he's back at Sinai. Sinai is the foundational revelation for the whole of our old covenant. It's there that God spoke. You could hear his voice. And he told us how to live. You see? Or did any God venture to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of another nation? By testings, by signs and wonders, by war, with a strong hand and outstretched arm, and by great terrors, all of which the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes. So, you see what Moses is saying here? Did God ever show himself to anybody the way he has done for us? Never. You see? And so now, he moves on. That is why, you see, you must fix in your heart, you see, and acknowledge that Adonai is God in the heavens above and on earth below, and there is no other. Now, what's happening right now? People all over the world, of course, are denying that there is a God. Which means what? They're making their own. Very often, in making some way to feel more at ease on this globe, they wander off and start relating to demons. Sometimes they don't even know that's what they're doing. And see, this text is telling us, you see, and you must keep his statutes Shamar Temet Chuki, that's it right there, yeah. His statutes and commandments, which I command you to this day, that you and your children after you may prosper, and that you may have long life on the Lord, on the land Adonai, your God, is giving you. So what's the purpose of the law, as it's described here? First, we have very precious information now on the historical background of the law. We have examples, some of you have surely heard of these. The Hittites were a particular group of people, and they were very powerful, and they would make treaties with other kings. They would help them out in war. They would make sure that this one got on the throne. I've mentioned some of this for you before. But the motive then for keeping that covenant is gratitude. Not fear, not a desire for a promotion, gratitude. Now, that's very official and diplomatic in most of these, what they call Hittite suzerainty treaties. But remember how this covenant begins? You see, Ani Adonai Elohecha, I, Adonai, your God, brought you out of the land of Egypt, that house of slavery. Now, you see, that's what I did for you. Now, the covenant then is not a contract. You know, I do and you do. I've done. I've saved you. And as we live now, we see, I sent my son, he poured out his blood for you, and he gave you the Holy Spirit. All of that is done. Now the covenant, absolutely the covenant is what? The Holy Spirit dwelling in you. But the motive for yielding to that Holy Spirit, for keeping the covenant, is gratitude. If you know what God has done for you, you run to answer Him. I'll do anything, God. I am so grateful. And you know, I've been a spiritual director before I was ordained. Maybe I was 23, 24 in there someplace. And one of the ways, there are certain ways you can tell the maturity of somebody else, if you're supposed to be doing that. You don't go around checking out everybody's maturity. But if they're coming to you for some sort of spiritual help, see how long it is before they start talking about their gratitude. When that starts, you know where they are. And you know, in the words we've just been using, that they've had a personal encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ. They know Him, and they begin to appreciate what He's done for them. That's the sign of a beginning of maturity in the Christian life. You get it. See? And that's why it says here, you see, did any God venture to go and take a nation for Himself from the midst of another nation when He took the Jews out of Egypt? By testing signs and wonders, by war, strong hand, great terrors, all of which Adonai your God did for you in Egypt before your every eyes. That is why you must now acknowledge and fix in your heart that Adonai is God in the heavens above and on earth below, and there is no other. That's the first thing you have to do. You have to acknowledge there's only one God, and I'm not it. You are God. You see, it's founded on gratitude. Well, we just were listening to that text about reading the Bible. When you read the Bible and the Holy Spirit begins to impress those realities on your spirit, not just words like agakathristi, you know, press the realities on your spirit. There's no other writing in the world that happens for. You see? Then you gasp. I understand what you've done, God. I understand. And I see your plan, starting with the call of Abraham, all the way down to my call. You've always taken the initiative because you love. You see? And so that's what's being said here, that this be a you see, that if you do this, you and your children will prosper. You have a long life on the land the Lord your God is giving you forever. Well, the symbol of that land that the Lord God is giving us is Israel. But where's that land? Heaven. Forever. Here. It's yours. St. Therese used to say, when I die, God the Father is going to get off His throne and give me a big hug and say, now it's my turn. See, that's the land you live on forever. And God says, respond this way to me so that we can be so closely bound together that when you die, it's just like changing gears. You already know me, and I already know you. And so come now, enter the joy of your Lord. Is that possible? How many thousands of saints? I mean, real saints, canonized, bona fide, card-carrying saints. Nevertheless, and some of the greatest are probably the most hidden. When we get up there, we're going to say, now who's that? Oh, that's Joe Blow. He lived in Brooklyn. He had a wife and four kids. He did the best he could, and he prayed and worshipped me every day and gave his whole life to me. And I purified him, and he loved me so deeply that when he died, he just came over to me. Oh, wow. I never heard of him before. God would say, I got lots like that. I've got lots like that. You see? Some I'll put on a pedestal so you can be encouraged. This is the way, walk in it. And so that's that promise. Now the psalm is Psalm 33. And it's very interesting. The first line is Ki Yashar Davar Adonai. You see, the word of the Lord is Yashar. If you're asking directions in Jerusalem, let's say, Nazareth, any town, and you want to know, Efo, where's such and such? He'll say, see that road? Yashar, Yashar, Yashar. Just follow that road, straight, and you'll get there. Yashar, straight, upright, you see? The word of the Lord is straight. No wrinkles, no hidden clauses. The word of the Lord is straight. And all his works are trustworthy. Then in the next, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and the breath of his mouth, all their host. You see that intimation of the Trinity? Did you see it? You see what it says? It says, V'davar Adonai Shemayim Na'asu U'beruach Pi Kol Tzav'am. So by the Dabar, the word, and by his spirit, there's that footprint of the Trinity already there. You have to have Jesus come down and get it, but there's a footprint there, there's a vestige, all throughout the Old Testament, there are these things like this psalm they're giving us here, you see? The eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness. Do you hope for kindness? Yeah. You don't take it for granted, but you're sure of it. That's hope. I don't deserve it. I never heard of it till you preached it to me, but I wait for it with confidence. That's hope. I don't have the wherewithal to get there, but you will give me the wherewithal, you see, to deliver them from death, eternal death. And then, this last part, which is so beautiful, you say, Nafshenu hikacha ladonai ezreinu v'megadenu hu. Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our ezer, our help, and our shield. Interesting, the word there, ezer, that's the word, let us make a man, okay. And now, let us make an Azer. Let us make a helpmate. The woman is the divine completion of God's plan for humanity. She's the Azer. The word comes 21 times in, if I remember my stats correctly, 21 times in the Hebrew Bible, and 14 of them are God. God is our Azer. And the woman is Azer, like that. You see? It doesn't mean housemate, you know, housewife, or, you know, I'm home, you know, what's for supper, where are my slippers? No. It means complete as a human being. Amen.